Could we turn to John chapter 11 for one last time this morning? Then we'll quit. I'm quitting and going home. Not today, but before we start anything different, I'll let Brother Jonathan take care of that next week. But John chapter 11, and actually this morning, I guess we might read something more in 12. Some of you have been here all week, and you know what we've talked about, the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead to the glory or for the glory of God. It wasn't an easy trek. There was a lot of weeping and disappointment and frustration, but they got through all of that, and if you'd believe, you'd see God's glory, and God was glorified. And Lazarus came bouncing out of that grave, we read yesterday, bound hand and foot. But then he was loosed and let go. And as he was let go, we read in several places, at the end of the 11th chapter and the beginning of the 12th chapter, where he went, people saw and believed. Wherever he went, he was a testimony. He was to the glory of God, just like the Lord had said he would be. And it's a wonderful story. It continues in the 12th chapter where there they have this little gathering in Lazarus's home. And after the little story of the pouring out of the ointment on Jesus' feet, it says that many of the Jews came again. Many Jews came all around there to see Lazarus. He must have been like a spectacle. We want to see this guy. Word gets around when you're raised from the dead. Believe me. It gets around. People hear. It's good news. And for some, it wasn't such good news. For Lazarus, it was great news. Put yourself in his sandals. If you were Lazarus, let me ask you this question. Would you like to have been Lazarus? Anybody here you'd like to? Sister Marion says no. She's the only one playing with me this morning, interacting. Anybody, would you like to be Lazarus or not? Why not? What? Yucky? Oh, you mean with the death and the smell and all the rest of that? Yeah, there's a little yuck involved. But can't you get past the yuck? And anybody here like to be Lazarus? Christy says, no, Matt, not you. But Matt says, yeah, me. And it's a two-edged sword. But in a sense, aren't we all like Lazarus? You are all yuck in your trespasses and your sins. That's what the Bible said. It doesn't say yuck. It says dead. Same yuck, right? Dead. We were all dead in trespasses and sins. We were all Lazarus. We were dead. But for the glory of God, what happened to you? You didn't stay dead anymore. He called your name. He really did. He knows your name. And he calls us by name. And when you hear him call you by name, you're dead in trespasses and sins, what happens to the yuck? What happens to the sin? It goes away. It's gone. You ask me why I'm happy? I'll just tell you why. Because my yuck is gone. My sins are gone. And next time we sing this song, don't sing yuck, but sing it the way it's supposed to be. They're underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary, and now I have new life, resurrection life. I'd like to be Lazarus. Well, let me ask the question again. Would anybody here like to be Lazarus? Let me ask it differently. How many of you here this morning are Lazarus? Yeah, oh, now I'm getting a good response. See, you're a Lazarus, so why would you not like to be like him? You didn't like your yuck, so get rid of the yuck. Get rid of the sin. There's a remedy for your sin. It's called the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses us from the sin. And thank God we've passed from death unto life. That's a wonderful thing. Jesus has saved us. We now belong to Jesus, and he belongs to us. And I like that, and you like that. But there's one last piece to the story that I'd just like to look at, and that really is in the 12th chapter. So people are wanting to hear your testimony. They're wanting to see what God has done in you, how he has raised you from the dead and changed your life and made you a new creation. The old things are passed away and everything becomes new. Wonderful. Great life now that you have, right? Right. But wait a minute. Not so great. Or maybe. Look what happens in chapter 12. I'm reading verse 9 of chapter 12. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there. Jesus was in big trouble. Big trouble. I mean, the Jews did not like anybody raising anybody else from the dead. It was like, no, don't do that. Not here. And so Jesus got in trouble. Again, he had a way of getting into trouble. Do you have a way of getting into trouble? I don't know why I'm looking at you. We all have a way. We somehow find it. It's our middle name. We get into trouble. Well, sometimes we get into trouble because we haven't done the right thing. Jesus got into trouble because he did do the right thing. He said the right thing. He got him in trouble. He did the right thing. It got him in more trouble. And by this time already, there were a lot of people that were wanting to kill Jesus. That's how much they hated him. They hated him because of all the good that he did, because of all the resurrection life that he brought. They didn't like that. And so they were already trying to kill him. And it says here, as we're reading, there the Jews found out where Jesus was. They were looking for him, not to elect him to public office, but to try to get rid of him. But they found where Jesus was, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There it is again. We want to find out where Jesus is. We want to see this guy Lazarus also. We want to see this man Jesus raised from the dead. So the chief priests, now look at verse 10. I don't want to be Lazarus anymore. I mean, I didn't want to be when it was yuck, and I wanted to be when it was filled with new life. And now I don't know if I want to be Lazarus anymore, because it says here that the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of him, because of Lazarus, look at this guy. Many of the Jews were going over to Jesus, and they were putting their faith in Jesus because of Lazarus. And so not only did they hate Jesus, but they also hated Lazarus. Why? What had he done wrong? The poor guy did nothing wrong. The only thing he did was come back to life again. New life, resurrection life. But the Jews hated that. They didn't mind Lazarus so much. What didn't they like? Not only him going to Jesus, maybe even more than that, what didn't they like? The multitude. They didn't want the people going to Jesus. And what was it about Lazarus, in Lazarus, that they hated? Yeah, he was living proof that Jesus raised him from the dead. And the life of Jesus, the spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, that was in Lazarus, and they hated that. And so, I mean, these Jews, their chief priests, they must have been smart intellectually, but they didn't seem to ever get it. Jesus raises the man from the dead, and they go around, now they want to kill him again. You can't. It's like a cat. He comes back to life. He's got, why don't we read in the narrative? You would think that almost you should read. Here was Lazarus raised from the dead. The chief priests come to Lazarus and say, Lazarus, how did this happen? What did you do? What do we do to get this kind of life in us? That's not what they ask. Some do. Some do. And some believe on Jesus. But the ones that don't believe, the ones that don't like Jesus, they don't like Lazarus either. They don't like him to the point that they want to kill him. I don't think anybody here, maybe so. I don't know all your testimonies in your lives, but maybe you've never been in danger of being killed. Maybe nobody's after your life because you were converted and changed and Jesus saved you. But Jesus said, I think it's in Matthew chapter 10. I think it's the 22nd verse. If you find it, would you read it? Matthew chapter 10, verse 22. First one that gets it. Go ahead. Go ahead, Jake.
Verse 2?
No, verse 22.
Verse 22. You will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm in the end will be saved.
Okay, everybody will hate you. Jesus is talking to his disciples. You will be hated because of me. Because you're following me. Because my word is in you. because I'll be in you. Either you won't be accepted by people. People will hate you. People will persecute you. People will shun you, ostracize you. Physically, emotionally, whichever way. Has that ever happened to anybody here? Has anybody here ever been persecuted? Shunned? Ridiculed? Anybody here? Nobody's been persecuted? Two of you, several of you, others of you are raising. Yeah, a lot more now are raising their hands or coming. You know what the Bible says? All, who knows the rest of the verse? That's Jesus. Yeah, that's the one. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Why? Because you've done something wrong? No. Because you've done something right. When Christ is in us, it was so with Lazarus. When you've been raised from the dead spiritually, there will be those that don't like your testimony. They may just persecute by making fun of you, calling you names. Somebody called me a name last week. It was a nice name, but it was in jest. They were, I don't think they were trying to irk me or get under my skin. Oh, I was taking a car to have it examined for a change of insurance. And I brought it to the guy, and he has to take pictures of it and fill out these forms. And he's taking pictures and fill out these forms. And he was talking to my wife. She was there with another car. We had two cars to have looked at. And I don't know what she said to him, but I walked in. And he said to me, "So you're going to a holy roller camp?" So what's this guy know? I guess she had said that we're going upstate next week and we're going to a religious camp or a church camp or whatever. "You're in a holy roller camp?" Well, I would to God we were rolling a little more than we are. I hope that we're as holy as we ought to be too. So I said, "Yeah, I'm going to a holy roller camp." And we went on with the business and talked about the Yankees more than the holy roller camp. But you'll get these things, not so much in jest, not so in a nicely framed, but some people will call you names. They'll try to get under your skin. They'll try to provoke you. You know, we can tell lots of stories because I'm sure there are many, but one that just comes to mind is I was out in California and I was in this meetings of people, and after the meeting was over, we had left and were walking out, and two men, I didn't know who they were, and they didn't speak English well enough to speak to me, but I was with the pastor, and the pastor said, he told me they want to take pictures. And so, pictures. So I'm standing there with these two guys, and we took a picture, and then they went on and other pictures, other places. And as we left, this man said to me, the pastor said to me, "Do you know who those two men were?" And I said, "No, I don't know who they are." He said, "Well, they have both been in concentration camps or persecuted in China for their faith in Jesus Christ." And I said, "Yeah, well, one of them, they asked him to recant his faith, renounce your faith." And he said he wouldn't do it. And so they took a chisel and a hammer, and they put it on his tooth. And they went, and they broke it right out and cracked his tooth. And when they did that, you know what the man, some of you know the story maybe, but the man said, "Hallelujah." So he went to another tooth. And he said, "Hallelujah." And another. And they knocked almost every tooth out of his mouth. His jaw was broken. His mouth was bloodied. And every time they did that, the only response from him was, "Hallelujah, hallelujah." The other one, for a year, all day long, they took him, they had a little harness made for him, and they hung him on a hook, and he hung there, strapped into this harness. He just hung there all day long, every day, for 1 year. Well, how could you stop this torture? How could you get it? The only thing you need to do is renounce your faith in Jesus Christ. Just deny that you love and that you want to follow him. And they couldn't do it, these two men. When I heard their story, I thought, they want a picture with me. I want a picture with them. They're the heroes. They're the heroes of the faith that, although hated, although persecuted for righteousness' sake, willing to pay that price. And yet, sometimes I find when people, you know, ridicule or cast aspersion right away, oh no, we don't like that. Oh, we're suffering such persecution. But there are people today that are really being, well, they're laying down their lives for Jesus. You've heard the stories of John Huss. You know how they burned him at the stake. They burned others at the stake. And who was it, that Polycarp or somebody like that, that they burned? And he wouldn't be tied to the stake. He said, I don't have to be tied. You don't have to do that to me. I'm willingly laying down my life. I'm glad to suffer for Jesus. These were people, and there are thousands of them today, that love Jesus Christ and don't love their own lives, not even till the death. Why not? Because the resurrection life that they experienced was real. It was genuine. It wasn't just church or Christianity or religion, but it was a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ. And tell me naught of aught beside. I have heard the voice of Jesus and my soul is satisfied. And nothing will deter me. Nothing will turn me back. I have decided to follow Jesus. You know, the man that wrote that song. You know that little chorus, I have decided to follow Jesus. That was when his children, his wife, and he was being led to be killed. And he began to sing that song. No turning back. No turning back. If you don't turn back, we'll kill your children right in front of your eyes. I have decided to follow Jesus. Oh, your wife is next. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. But Lazarus will kill you. Will kill you for your faith. There are too many people believing on Jesus because of you. We can't have you around here. You know, there's a devil-inspired, vitriolic hatred that people exhibit for the kingdom of God, the blood of Jesus Christ, and the cross. It's inspired by hell. It's insidious. And we need to stand in the evil day. And only by the grace of God and only by the power of the Holy Spirit can we stand in the evil day. But we can. We can stand, and having done all, stand. And there are no-name people like these two men that I met in California who are willing to pay that price. Their names will never be found in Who's Who. Their names will never be in a newspaper. Their names will never be acclaimed. They'll never be in a marquee or anything of the sort. But I wonder if in heaven, well done. Well done. Faithful until death. You will be hated of all men because of me, but he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. And so it's really okay. It's hard. It's difficult. But the Lord Jesus is with us. Thank God he is. And he somehow, I don't know, Stephen, remember when he was being martyred? What does it say? Do you remember? What did Stephen see? I saw it, man, the stones were coming down on Stephen, raining down. He was being martyred for his faith. And it says, I saw heaven open. And I saw the Lord there standing. Oh, I wonder if that pacified Stephen. Although he was being in a real duress and strain and hardship and pain and suffering, yet what does it say? His face shone as if he had the face of an angel. That's the glory of God. That's God being glorified by life or by death. Now, I don't personally think about, you know, will I be able to have my head chopped off for my faith? Will I be able to stand there when the flames are all around me? I don't think about that, because I think if it ever came to it, he would have grace sufficient for me. I don't need to worry about that now. What I need to worry about today is living for him, not dying for him. living for him, laying down my life in that sense of the word, taking up my cross daily today to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. You too? No turning back? The cross before me, the world behind. Today, I mean, tonight, now, this morning, I have decided to follow Jesus. Oh, that would please the Lord, I'm sure. That would glorify his name. If we're not frustrated and disappointed by, Lord, I don't understand. You let them see this, say this about me. You let me go through this. I blame you for, Lord, I don't understand. I don't figure it out. I don't question you, though. I know that the way that you take is best, and when you have tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And that's really what it's all about. And so may God give us grace to be faithful and to be true. Someone asked yesterday if we could sing a song that we sang earlier in the week, but it would be well to perhaps sing it in closing. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. It's number 68 in that white book. That Annie Flynn song that we talked about. Thank God his grace is sufficient for each one of us. Number 68. Let's stand as we sing. Some of you just came in on that last verse. So if you want to know what you missed, I can meet with you in the prayer room and I can fill you in on everything that we did. But if not, we'll let you go too. I'm not expecting too much out of that. But let's pray and commit ourselves to the Lord today. Brother Isaac, would you pray with us?
Thank you, Lord, for the grace that you offer. We thank you that your grace is sufficient for us. For whatever situation we find ourselves in, that you grant more grace as the situations grow greater, God, and we just pray that you would help us. Help us to stand in that day, after having done all to stand, as we've heard. We thank you for the grace that you offer, and we thank you that you are faithful to help us. In your name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Amen.